Recently, I read a blog post called "Dear Mothers, We Must Stop Putting Each Other Down." You see, there are a lot of these blog posts out there. "Dear daughter, this is why I work." Or, "Dear daughter, this is why I don't work." Passionately defending decisions that we make as parents, as human beings. There are hundreds of these blog posts. And some, I'll admit, are useful and wonderful, and some are downright mean and nasty. It seems mothering especially draws these kinds of blog posts because every decision is up for grabs, even though we forget that our circumstances are unique to our own lives, and sometimes we don't have a choice whether we work or not. So in this blog that I just read, "Dear Mothers, We Must Stop Putting Each Other Down," the author says, "More power to all of us who get up on our soapbox to speak about what we believe in, no matter what our topic of choice might be. I just think all that bravery and intelligence and power could also have an impact on issues that matter to a much bigger universe of women. As for my dear daughter, tonight, all I want to say to her is this: may you grow to discover a world where women no longer waste so much energy ripping each other apart." We live in a culture where we rip each other apart, right? It's easier to criticize and to say what's wrong with another human being. We live in a culture where we're constantly putting things and people down. Well, this woman's blog really touched a chord in me because I think it can be different. If we listen to those scripture words, it certainly can. Think about all our similarities. We cry and we laugh. We mourn and we rejoice. Yes, there are differences and it's good to acknowledge them, but there are a lot of similarities as human beings. We are one. And imagine if we lived in a world where we affirmed one another, where we loved one another, where we lifted up our gifts instead of ripping each other apart. And so it was a little diner, and the seminary professor and his wife had gone to eat. They were really excited about this diner food, you know, that good greasy kind. They were so excited about it. And they sit down at their table, and there's a distinguished-looking gentleman walking around, and the seminary professor says to his wife, "I hope he's not going to come to our table." And lo and behold, he comes over and smiles brightly and says, "Hi, nice to meet you. Where are you folks from?" Say, "Oklahoma." He says, "Welcome to Tennessee." And he says, "What do you do for a living?" And he said, "Well, I'm a seminary professor." "Oh, you teach preachers to preach?" The distinguished-looking man says, "I've got a story for you." And as the seminary professor's eyes kind of roll back in his head a little bit, you know, another story for me. And so the man, the distinguished-looking gentleman, pulls out a chair, sits down, and says, "See that mountain over there?" They nod. "Well, a little boy grew up there. He was born to an unwed mother. He grew up there, and he was kind of ashamed because everywhere he went in town, at school or at church or at the store, everyone would ask, 'Who's your daddy?' And he never had a good response. So he became a shy little boy, and he would hide at recess and at church and all these places because everyone would ask, 'Who's your daddy?' And he never had a good response because he didn't know who his daddy was. So then one day, he's about 11 or 12, and he goes to church, and there's a new preacher in town, and he had kind of come up with his routine, so he snuck out a little bit early so no one could talk to him. And unfortunately, he kind of missed the end of the service, and the preacher gave the benediction really quickly, and so the little boy got stuck in the receiving line. And as he's going out, the new pastor in town says, 'Who's your daddy?' And there's quiet. He could tell that the little boy was getting anxious and nervous, and he said, 'Oh, Oh, I see the family resemblance. You're a child of God. And patted the little boy on the shoulder, said, you've got a great inheritance. Go out and live it. That little boy lived differently. His life was transformed. For the first time, he felt like he had a daddy. He knew what he could say when someone asked him that question. So this distinguished-looking man stands up, pushes in his chair, and says, thank God someone said those words to me, and walks away. The waitress came over with their food, and so the seminary professor asked, well, who was that man? Does he do that to everybody in the diner? That's Ben Hooper, the former governor of Tennessee. We are all children of God. Sometimes we need reminders that we are beloved and that we are called to affirm one another rather than put each other down. There are so many differences: social class, race, gender, sexual orientation, and the list goes on. We can use those to divide us, or we can try to affirm one another, build up the body of Christ, know that we are intricately connected to one another. One of the traditions I love about this church is when we go away on youth retreats, we do what we call affirmation bags. And so every advisor and youth make affirmation bags, write their name on them, and then we're supposed to write an affirmation of every person and put it in the bag by the time we leave. Well, I remember my first junior high fellowship retreat so clearly. We were at Silver Lake. It was a cold winter weekend. You know, I was kind of tired. I don't know. There are 22, 24 kids, maybe not the best behaved children on that particular trip. And it was Saturday night. We were leaving Sunday morning. And I was like, oh, no, those affirmation bags. I got to do those affirmation bags. If I don't set a good example, then, you know, it's not good. So I really just wanted to curl up into my bed and go to sleep because they were all quiet for the moment. And there I sat, writing like 25 affirmations, but it was amazing. My mood changed, and I felt good. And then I went and stuck them in the youth and advisor bags, and it was amazing. When you open those bags and you see those words written about yourself, funny, nice, kind, whatever those words are, smiles are broad, it's amazing to be there for that moment when those affirmation bags are opened. And actually, after the 8 o'clock service, someone came up to me and she was cleaning her son's room after he went off to college. And she's like, what's this brown paper bag doing here? And she opened it up. She's like, what are these little slips of paper? And she started reading them. She said, wow. She started crying because it was a new side to her kid that she maybe didn't see. And the fact that this 18-year-old kid who had just gone off to college had this saved bag of affirmations from church. We are all children of God. And sometimes it takes special people to remind us. And that was the case with Sister Helen. She's a nun and a teacher, and she was teaching second grade. She one year had a really kind of boisterous, loud group of children, and one in particular, his name was Mark. A beautiful smile, but the kid never shut up. And so one day, she was getting a little frustrated, so she said, you talk one more time, Mark, and I'm going to tape your mouth shut. And he was the kid that never stopped talking, but was always polite. Thank you, sister, for reminding me how to act. He talked one more time, and since she had made that little agreement in front of all the kids, they were yelling, the rest of the class, for her to go get the tape. She went and got the tape and marked a big X on his mouth. And then she turned around to go back to and look at him, and he winked at her. And she says she just erupted, because how could you take this serious, this like charming little kid who's winking at her because she just taped his mouth shut. So she took it off, and they all laughed, and It was a great moment. Well, that end of that year, she got moved to teach high school math. And the years sped by, and guess who was in her class again? But Mark. She said this time he wasn't so cute, but he was more handsome and still that amazing smile, still liked to talk. And one day she was teaching a concept that was kind of difficult, and she could tell the students were getting frustrated and kind of snippy at each other, you know when that happens. And so she stopped the lesson and said, take out a piece of paper, made them write all the names of their classmates on the paper, and then had them write one affirmation about every student there. She said the mood changed radically, and she took the papers home, and then she made a sheet for every person or every student in the class, and then she added her own affirmation at the bottom. She handed them out on Monday, never really heard about it again. Thought, hope that worked, and hope that made the students feel good. Years speed by, Sister Helen goes on a trip. Her parents pick her up, and they're driving to take her home, and her dad clears his throat like he did when he had to tell her something important. And so she listened, and he said, do you remember Mark? She said, oh yes, I remember Mark, but I haven't thought about him in a while. How is he? Well, he died yesterday in Vietnam. His parents called, and they want you to go to his funeral. She went to the funeral. It was a moving service in the church, and then went to the cemetery. They played taps, and there, someone came up to her and said, are you Mark's math teacher? I've heard all about you. She went to the reception afterwards and was greeted by Mark's parents. Mark's dad took something out of his pocket. It was all worn and taped. This was found on him when he died in Vietnam. That sheet of paper with all the affirmations. Suddenly, all the classmates gathered round, and some of them took out their pocketbooks and their wallets, and guess what they had in them? But that sheet of paper. One woman explained that her husband, who was in the class, made her put that affirmation sheet in their wedding album so it would never be lost. One explained that it sits on her dresser so she could remember. Tears streaming down Sister Helen's face. Reminders that we are beloved children of God. Reminders that we matter. And that we are one, intricately connected. So it's our choice. We can go out into the world and write mean and nasty blog posts and be mean and nasty people and tear each other down. We can go out into the world and try to be those good and faithful and loving people, and we'll miss the mark sometimes. But that's okay. That's where love and grace and forgiveness come in. It is our choice how to live our lives. It is our choice to go out with loving and caring hearts to proclaim to all the world, we are children of a living God.